So as we all know, right, it's Super Bowl weekend. And I'm sure there are going to be tons and tons of youth that are very, very excited to watch this game. And I'm also sure there's going to be some that, you know, football is not really their sport. They don't really follow it one way or another. So, but I'm going to take this opportunity up here and share things about the game that relate to our spiritual life. Now, even if you don't watch football, hopefully I could do a good enough job. Hopefully God speaks through me, and you could still get a lesson through this, still apply this to your life, even if you're not into sports. But this should apply to your Christian life. Now, first thing I want to mention, first things first, is that for the longest time, the NFL playing on Sunday has been a controversy for churches. Now, I have personally known some young gentlemen, what, not here or anything, but in the past, that will not show up or would not show up for morning service because his team was playing the early game on Sunday. So, a caution to any athletes, to any sports fans, to actually any believers, is don't let anything, that's anything, become an idol. We're going to first turn to 1 John. I know there's a lot of firsts right there. 1 John chapter 5, verse 21. Yeah, 1 John 5:21. And as we read this, I hope that you always do this, is that you all follow along and read yourself, but I'm going to have Tyler read first. As long as 21. Hey, pretty simple, right? Idols. Keep yourself from idols. Idols, you know, they separate us. They distract us. They take away the focus off God. You know, it separates that relationship that we have with Jesus. So if you do that, you know, that's our number one relationship. That's our number one thing. What we should always keep is our relationship with Jesus. So anything that distracts us from that is bad, right? Can we agree with that? So that's bad. So keep ourselves from idol. So with that said, we're going to go into the sports. Is by nature, sports is a competition, right? By nature, that's what it is. But I can't even read my own writing. It's crazy. But just as the coaches choose certain players to play, God has chosen you. You know, he's chosen you guys. Chosen you to be believers, to be his competitors. You know, and your opponent is focused on beating you guys. Your opponent, that's all he cares about, is beating each and every one of you guys. We're going to turn to 1 Peter, so it's going to be to the left. 1 Peter chapter 5. Yeah, we're done. I'm going to be jumping all over the place. Hopefully this goes well. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Rihanna, can you read that? Yes. So the devil's always out there, and he's looking for us to stumble, us to, to falter or not be focused, and he wants to devour us. So we need to stay focused and stand against and be aware of the traps, the snares that the father of lie puts out there. Now, we could see this weekend, we could observe that this weekend that most of the people are not out on the field, right? Most of the people where it'll be there, not out of the field. You know, they're in the stands. They're on the couches. They're just watching the game. You know, they'll be encouraging, but sadly, more often, a lot of people will be criticizing how people are playing. Now, God did not call you guys to be spectators, but to be part of the team. You know, the field is the world, and our goal is to win it for Jesus. Colossians, to the left again. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. Katie, can you read that? Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. So whatever you do, do it for Jesus. Now some of you guys are going to be called to do some special plays. You know, maybe play a bigger, what the world would say is a bigger role than others. But everyone is called out onto that field to play. Even if you feel like your role is kind of small, there's no small roles. You need to be ready in a moment's notice to dash out in the field if the coach calls your name, right? You need to be ready. And when you're out there, you need to do the best that you can. When the coach calls, you need to be ready. You must be clear to know what your position is. You must train. You must practice, and you must be prepared for that moment. 1 Corinthians it's to the left again. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Verse 13 through 14. Byron, can you read that? You'll stand fast in faith. That's how we need to be. And be brave. Now, the football field, for those who don't know, they're laid out in 10-yard increments, right? We all know this. Maybe, possibly. You know, there's 10-yard increments. It has boundaries, and there are rules to the game. The boundaries are to keep us inside the game, right? Now, the 10-yard markers, you know, they're not necessarily an object, a point of object, but it's a point of reference to let the players know where they're at, which direction they're going. You know, maybe it's to tell them that, oh no, we're going the wrong way, we're facing the wrong goal. It's a point of reference. You know, to know which, if we're heading the right direction. Now, God's laws, is the Ten Commandments, right? The Ten Commandments, and the function is the same way. You know, they keep us in the game. They give us a point of reference. You know, not following the rules will result in penalties, which might take us out of the game for a little bit. But there will be penalties if we're not there. Now, there's turnovers, there's fumbles. Yet, we're to keep pressing forward. You know, pressing forward in a way that we will receive the prize according to the rules. Let's turn to 2 Timothy. This one's to the right. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. Amanda, will you read that? Yo, if you cheat, you might think, oh, it's fine, I got away with it. But in trueness, you are cheating yourself out of the blessing, out of that blessing, out of that knowledge. Whatever you cheat yourself, whatever you cheat in, you cheat yourself out of blessings. Now the clock is a countdown, right? The game of football is played in how many quarters? Four quarters, right? And there's a set time in those quarters. You know, it's a limit. Now a wise player keeps his eye on the clock, right? Keeps an eye on the clock for which reasons? And how much time he has left? And why would that be important? Right. So he has to make the most of the time he has. Right? He has to make that most of that time. So, the same thing applies as Christians. We need to make the most of our time. But unlike the football players, we can't look up and see a little clock, a little countdown. We don't know how much time is left. You know, so it makes it all the more important to make the most of the time you have. Not missing opportunities, valuing everything that you do, and striving to be the best that you can the time that we have. Jose, it's don't be to the left, it's in the Old Testament. Jose. Hun? Jose chapter 10, verse 12. Thank you. 12. Tori, are you there? All right. Can you read that? Chapter 10, verse 12. Yeah. Sorry. It is time. Now is the time to make the most of every opportunity. You know, don't waste it. And this is a warning, is don't regret Don't regret trying. Never regret trying. Always try. Never regret praying for somebody. Never going, oh, I should have prayed for them. Do it. Do it. Have that in the forefront of your brain so that you will do it. Yo, things may seem impossible and hard, but don't let that stop you. In Matthew, to the left, Matthew chapter 19, verse 26. Julia, can you read that? So with God, all things are possible. All things are possible. It's just like football. Yo, nothing is impossible. Yo, anything can happen. Just saying, any given Sunday, any team can win. Don't slack off. Don't slack off or give up. Yo, don't give up until the referee blows the whistle and deems a victor. There's time left. Don't give up. Now, in football, there's an in-season and there's an off-season. Now, during the off-season, the teams just sit around and eat bonbons, right? No, they don't. The team works on the fundamentals, meaning works on the basics of the game. They're still working. They're practicing. They're practicing for the next game. They have to be ready. They have to be prepared. 2 Timothy. It's to the right. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Verses 2 through 5. Nick, can you read that? Okay. Don't look at training and practice and studying as a waste of time. You know, don't look at it like that. There are those who would love, who would absolutely love to catch you guys when you're vulnerable and to have you guys not have a good, strong foundation in the Word so that you could believe their lies. They would love it for you to abandon God and follow them. And sadly, you could see that in the world today. You could see people, you know, making up new things, trying to change God's words. But you want to be sound in your doctrine. You want to be prepared. You want to be practiced, studied up, so that you won't believe those lies. Now, there are times in your Christian life that it's going to be kind of off-season. You know, things are going to be seem like just smooth sailing, kind of idle. But that is not for us just to relax and be lazy. Those are times for us to prepare and grow closer to God. in Ephesians, it's to the left, Ephesians chapter 6. Yeah, chapter 6. Chapter 6, verse 10 and 11. Have I called on you, Faith, yet? Oh, yeah. Would you like to read that? Ephesians 6, verse 10 and 11. So Paul here is giving a pregame pep talk, right? He's in the locker room. He's getting the team all charged up. And he reminds the team to check out their gear. To check out their gear. Put on their uniform because it's going to be a battle out there. Yo, and this is the uniform as Christians we should put on every day. You know, we need to put this on so that we can stand, so we can stand against the opposing team. You know, we need to stand firm with the belt of truth, what's all around us. Right? So we need to keep the truth with us wherever we go. And then the shoulder pads of righteousness, you know, so that when we could take a hit, so we could take a hit and still not be turned away from God, not be turned away from the wrong or the right direction we need to be facing. And then we need to be fitted with the nicest pair of shoes, right? The best shoes with big cleats so that we have a firm grip of the gospel of peace. So we have that foundation so we cannot be moved. We can't be knocked over. And we need to take up that face mask of faith so that we could defend ourselves against anything the opponent throws at us. That helmet of salvation, so that we don't have to worry about concussions. So that we could be focused on the task at hand. Then the sword of the Spirit, our playbook, God's word. Yo, it's there so that we will obey it. We will follow it always. You know, nothing's going to take us away from that playbook. You know, and he finishes it in saying, let everyone see God's glory as we kneel in the locker room in prayer. You know, it's not enough to simply be in the game. We need to press forward using that uniform. We need to press forward to the goal. In life, the goal might seem like it's on the other end of the field. So far away, right? And it could seem that it's so difficult to keep moving forward. Seems like every time you run a play, you get knocked down. We're not to focus on where we come from. Now, that may have got us there, but that's in the past. We need to focus on where we're going. We need to focus on the task at hand, the thing what's right in front of us. Philippians. So it's the next chapter to to the right. Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. Ryan, can you read that? Like I said, we're not to live in the past. You know, we need to move forward. Whether it was good things or bad things, we can't dwell on that. You know, now's the time. You need to press forward. You know, you need to give 110% 100% of the time. So you need to give everything you got. In more. And you need to go forward. You know, if we stumble, if we fumble, our job is to recover that football as quick as we can and press on. You know, not boo-hoo, I fumbled. You need to recover it. You need to get back up. You know, if you step out of bounds, if you get the wind knocked out of you, you need to get back in the game. You need to get back in the game and focus on the coach. Even if we get tackled for a loss, stay focused on him and run the plays he calls. You know, it will work out. Now, football is a team sport, right? There's no I in team. We've all heard that, haven't we? It's a team sport. Nobody wins alone. When the team works together and underneath the coach's direction, things will happen. Now, there's an offensive team. There's a kickoff team. There's a special team and there's a defensive team in football, right? But it's all under one team. Those are all the little parts of it. And when they work together, each of them are very critical on winning. You know, if you have a really good offense, but you have a horrible defense, you're probably not going to win because the defenses don't let that team have a great offensive too. So everything needs to work together. There's no individual victory. The only victory is for the team. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 6, Elena, can you read that? God has handpicked every single one of you guys, handpicked you for a unique role. You know, the part. That is the part you play in the kingdom. And every role is very important to God. It's extremely important to God. Now, we're not Christians so that we could receive a Super Bowl ring, right? But we look for something more valuable than that. We look for a greater prize. Let's turn to 2 Timothy. It's to the right. 2 Timothy chapter 4, 7 and 8. Gretchen, can you read that? No one in the crowd ever gains a yard on the field. No one in the crowd ever adds a single point to the scoreboard. The game is played and won by whom? The players, right? The players that are out there on the field. Not by anybody else. So, are you in the game? Are you a spectator? Just being a Christian is not enough. You know, God has called you out onto that field. Not in the stands, not on the sidelines. Are you in the game, gaining yards for Jesus? Are you merely watching? You know, the clock is ticking away. It's running down. We need to be able to get into the game before it's too late. CJ, can you end us in prayer?